hear these words as our call to worship. Let's open our ears that we might hear God's word today. Let's open our eyes to sense and see God's presence. Let's open our arms to embrace the community around us. Let's open our minds that we might see the beauty of truth in this world. And let us open our hearts to see the joy in all of life. Let's pray together. Here we are, Lord, filled with life and breath, the breath that you've breathed into our souls and lungs, and the life you've given at your command and grace. You know our paths and the help that we will need to keep our feet firm. In this time of worship, Lord, equip us to be your followers. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're delighted to have assisting in worship and leading in the reading of Scripture, Alexandra and David, and ministering in music, Heidi and Carmela. Welcome to Markham Baptist Church.
Good morning, and welcome to the Markham Baptist Church. Today is Father's Day, and in normal conditions, we will be having a barbecue and probably a Blue Jays game. Unfortunately, we are not on that position, but soon we'll be back on that. Happy Father's Day to everyone, and welcome to Markham Baptist Church. He said, I've been watching you down right there, cool down in Buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We're not fixing things and holding mama's hand. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you.
Good morning and happy Father's Day. I'd like to thank all of our youth for sending in their videos to wish all their fathers a happy Father's Day. Please join me as we pray. Today, Almighty God, as we observe Father's Day, I lift all the fathers of this world up to you with adoration and love. Fathers play such an important role in our lives as mentors, providers, protectors, caregivers, and so much more. Lord, we thank you for your shining example of what a father can be. You, Lord, are always there for us no matter our choices. You lovingly repair our broken spirit and lift us up with your mercy and grace. There is no greater love than yours, Lord. Our Father, we pray. Amen.
A reading from Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. I am exhausted for crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. Those who hate me without cause outnumber the hairs on my head. Many enemies try to destroy me with lies, demanding that I give back what I didn't steal. Oh God, you know how foolish I am. My sins cannot be hidden from you. Don't let those who trust in you be ashamed because of me. Oh sovereign Lord of heaven's armies, don't let me cause them to be humiliated, O God of Israel. For I endure insults for your sake. Humiliation is written all over my face. Even my own brothers pretend they don't know me. They treat me like a stranger. You know of my shame, scorn, and disgrace. You see all that my enemies are doing. Their insults have broken my heart, and I am in despair. If only one person would show me some pity, if only one would turn and comfort me. I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
know that you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow, I will not fear, and I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me. I am. Light is breaking through. The dark of night will not overtake me. I am pressing into you. Lord, you fight my every battle. Oh, and I will not fear, and I am. In the storm, through these trials, you've always been faithful. You bring healing to my soul, and I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me. I am.
A reading from Matthew 10:24-39. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It's enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not be known. What I said to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whisper, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet no one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace by a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Some of you may be rather curious as to how Father's Day and the title of this sermon go together, Unwasted Suffering. And perhaps some of you also have your own curiosity as to why you think they do belong together, suffering and Father's Day. I'm not going to go there. But I count my life as one of the fortunate ones. And the experiences I've had both as a child growing up and as a parent have only enriched my life. The lessons I've learned from my parents, teaching me how to be a better parent, a parent that is wise and caring, have been immeasurable. And the lessons that my daughter continues to teach me about how to be more open and childlike in my awareness of the beauty around me and appreciative of the gifts of people continue to bless my life as well. But the happenings of these past months have broken all of our hearts. And there have been days where I have literally cried over the pain and suffering of people that I have never met, but only know through videos and headlines, and the experiences that they are having. I have so much to learn. The things that I have taken for granted, things I've been unaware of because they haven't affected me directly. Things I assumed that were everyone's experience that obviously are not. The things I spoke of without a deeper, truer understanding of their own life situations, and yet the deep and persistent injustices that are so much a part of so many people's lives. I continue to learn and grow. What my parents taught me and what my daughter continues to teach me reminds me that we are never done learning, that we never truly grow up. Mistakes are part of our maturing, and to not admit our mistakes freezes us in immaturity. A fellow I knew years ago used to say at every New Year's Eve, he wants to make a new mistake. And that was a statement about not being afraid to make a new mistake, and also to recognize that we need to learn from the old ones so we don't repeat them again. To not speak up. To not risk being wrong or making a mistake can lead, at worst, to making greater mistakes and, at best, to being insignificant. So what are you doing with the life that God is giving you? Walter Brueggemann says that fearful people cannot do great things, for fear and anxiety will subvert the courage that is needed. We all carry certain fears within our lives, the fear of rejection, the fear of loneliness, the fear of inadequacy, or as some might call it, imposter syndrome, the fear of being judged, and even the fear of change. John F. Kennedy wrote in his book, Profiles of Courage, "In whatever arena of life one may meet the challenge of courage, whatever may be the sacrifices he faces if he follows his conscience, the loss of his friends, his fortune, his contentment, even the esteem of his fellow men, each must decide for himself the course that he will follow." Over and over again in Scripture, to a variety of people, Jesus said one phrase, "Follow me." In Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, "Come follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people." In Matthew 16:24, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." In Mark 10:21, Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. You'll have great treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." In Luke 5:27, Jesus says, "He went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at a tax booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.'" In John 1:42, Jesus is leaving Galilee, and finding Philip, he says to him, "Follow me." And in John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Each must decide for himself the course of life he will follow. And so in this passage, in Matthew 10:37-38, Jesus lays out a choice for us in the full light of one of the greatest risks we can face. "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me." And then verse 39, "Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." Every one of us is afraid of something. It may be the dark, it may be clowns, it may be spiders, but what Jesus talks about here tops the list of fears for many of us, the fear of losing someone we love. Whether you're a parent or not, we are all children who have been influenced by the lives of others, people who have supported us, encouraged us, people who have taught us lessons by their wisdom or their sheer presence with us. We fear losing them. Of course, there's the fear of losing a person to death, but there are all kinds of other ways that we can lose someone. We can lose the relationship through an argument over an insignificant matter. We can lose them over some disagreement that we never come together over. We can lose them over a sense of being rejected. Jesus recognized that fear can cause the failure of discipleship. For when we put ourselves on the course of following the ways of Jesus and the values of the kingdom of God, such as justice and mercy, truth and love, discipleship or discipline and grace, we are setting ourselves on a collision course with the powers that be, with life as it is in this world. Jesus prepares his disciples by being strikingly realistic about the threats that they will face and why their fears should not paralyze them. Jesus knows that their choice to follow him will influence countless other decisions that they will be called on to make in the coming years. And naming the suffering to be endured will be the first step in freeing them, in freeing us from the paralyzing effects of our fears. Newness only comes by abandoning the old in all of us. And we never welcome the threat to the way things have always been in our lives. Jeremiah and Ezekiel, two prophets in the Old Testament, both warned their people about the dangers of fearing change. And they said, "They have misled my people, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." Jesus causes a crisis of loyalty. He forces a decision upon us in what he says in verse 34. "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to earth. I've come not to bring peace, but a sword." Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned by the Nazis and later executed for his stand in faith. He chose to follow and seek after the righteousness of the kingdom of God rather than the Third Reich of Hitler. He wanted to follow Jesus rather than to toe the political line of his day in Germany. In his letters from prison, Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes this. He says, "The peace of Christ is the cross. The cross is God's sword on this earth. It creates division," he says. the son against the father, the daughter against the mother, the household against its head, all that for the sake of God's kingdom and its peace. That is the work of Christ on earth. No wonder the world accuses him who brought the love of God to the people of hatred towards human beings. When we suffer from the decisions that we make in following Jesus Christ, the suffering that inevitably comes from our decision to follow the way of the cross, when the course we choose is the cross, our suffering is never wasted. It's a testimony to faith. All of Jesus' first disciples faced persecution, challenge, and suffering. They were brought before the religious rulers, and later they were brought before political officials. All of them, except one, were martyred for their stand for faith. Fearful people cannot do great things. So imagine you and I, that we are people who are doers of great things. We are the ones entrusted not to familiar family values, but to the less practiced values of the kingdom of God. The gospel shakes up our values, reorganizes our priorities. Such complete transformation of human loyalty will have its effects on us, will have serious repercussions in our lives because of the institutions that it displaces. To give one's life away for the cause of Christ, says Thomas Long, is to be given all that makes life free, holy, and good. In the face of suffering, Jesus says these simple words, "Don't be afraid." Don't be afraid. Not because Jesus offers a carefree bliss to the naive, but because he demands a tough-minded courage from those who will take a stand, fully understanding the risks. This past week, a pastor in our denomination preached a coming-out sermon. She's part of the LGBTQ community, and what she shared was the journey of her life, and how she shared it was at great risk amid great fear. I'm not going to say she is right or wrong, because that's the terminology of people who stand over another in judgment, and I am not one who has that authority. But what she also shared seemed to express a peace that is coming to her, not from the world, but I gather from Christ. A peace that is risky, and yet for her a peace that is true. In Scripture, Jesus doesn't seem to be the great champion of family values after all. He doesn't champion the things that have set us on a course that have been stable and comfortable and easy. He sets us on a course of great risk and challenge, confronting our fears and our old self and our settled ways. He is the one who asks to be called Lord of our lives no matter what, to follow his values, the values of the kingdom of God. Knowing that his eye is on the sparrow certainly assures me, and I hope you, that his care is upon your life in every step of riskful adventure and faith that you are yet to take. May God give you the courage to take the next step, whatever that may be, in following him, that Jesus may be Lord of your life, and that the cross will be the path that you'll take. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Oh God, on this Father's Day Sunday, thank you for those whose strength in speech is the truth of their lives. Thank you that your speech is your promise to us of life everlasting. And so today, O God, we answer in songs of praise, acknowledging your redeeming love and power. We answer your words of promise in lyrics of gladness as well as honesty about our own hurts. We hear your words of life and we answer, but sometimes in abrasive ways, exposing, even cursing or hurting family, friends, and stranger. We answer with our silence, simply walking away. Today, O God, O Word of life made flesh, hear us as we draw close to the one who brings life and promise and healing. Hear us as we answer in Jesus' name, praying for the broken that are among us, and the lost and the searching, those who are left out, and the ones who have been given away or rejected. Giver of new life, hear us as we answer you with our lives, announcing newness in our behavior to others, answering by bringing change to our approach to others, as you have brought these graces to us in our own living. Help us answer in words of truth and acts of obedience to your holy word, in your invading presence of love, especially among the least of these. Lord, you have spoken your word and brought us life. May our response be always and forever our faithfulness to the ways of Christ in this world, our world, your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, my may see. He watches me. And I sing because I'm happy. And I sing because I am free. Ah, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches, I know He watches over me.
To give one's life away in the name of Christ is to be given all that is good and holy and loving. May that be your experience because you are following Jesus. And may God grant you progress and joy in the faith. Amen.